Our gospel lesson tonight comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 28 through 40. It begins, "After Jesus said this, he continued on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As Jesus came to Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he gave two disciples a task. He said, 'Go into the village over there. When you enter it, you will find a tied up there a colt, and no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it there. If anyone asks why you are untying it, just say, its master needs it.' Those who had been sent found it exactly where he had said. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'Its master needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their clothes on the colt, and lifted Jesus onto it. As Jesus rode along, they spread their clothes on the road. As Jesus approached the road leading down from the Mount of Olives, the whole throng of his disciples began rejoicing. They praised God with a loud voice because of all the mighty things they had seen. They said, 'Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heavens.' Some of the Pharisees from the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, scold your disciples. Tell them to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if they were silent, the stones would shout.'" Let's take a moment in prayer. Gracious God, be with us as we enter into this Lenten season, as we enter into this second week, and we ask that you guide our hearts through the words that we hear. May they be helpful on our wilderness journey down the path that you guide us. And may they pronounce a faith with grace and love. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I wonder how many of you are asking yourselves right now this question. Are we skipping Lent and heading right toward Palm Sunday? Because Pastor, you just read the Bible verse we use on Palm Sunday. Yes, yes, I did. This year for Lent, Pastor Beth and myself have decided to take a journey, one where we look at healing, one where we look at teaching, and one where powers are provoked. We are going to begin where the story ends, on this road to the cross. One where grace is eminent, one where life is important, and one where the powers of the empire are confronted. Lent is about preparing. Lent is about understanding God's reign. And the road that Jesus takes is where grace is embodied. It is where the world is full of beauty. And yet, at the same time, it is divided with injustice. But even with that, it is the same road we all travel down as followers of Jesus, where we all learn about who he is, about what he stands for, and about why he came to save all of us. It is the same road where we all encounter our limits, and because of that, we continue to search for that deeper need of God's grace. The story actually begins a few chapters back, right around the 9th chapter of Luke. It continues on until Luke's 19th chapter. Along the way, we hear stories of the Good Samaritan and even the prodigal son. But today, we're standing just outside the town of Bethpage and Bethany. To put it into context, a few weeks from now, this sanctuary will be filled with children and adults waving palm branches. We will celebrate Jesus' arrival on his road to Jerusalem. It is almost triumphant in a sense. But at the same time, there is this underlying factor that we tend to overlook. As I said, here our hearts are filled with triumph. They are filled with victory. Here is Jesus standing outside the gates. People are excited, but are they really? In the larger sense of it all, there is this political aggression that is happening. There has been plenty of talk by now about this man who is standing outside the city walls. The people there have this sense of victory, almost making the scene singular. Because when you think about the term triumphant, it becomes singular quite quickly. It has been ingrained into each one of us in all our throughout our whole life that this is something that we don't like to lose, and we like to win. But victory means this, that there is a loss for someone else. What I'm saying is this, that triumph, it belongs to the powerful, the bellicose, the arrogant, and on the road to hope, Jesus and even Luke see triumph in a totally different way. We all know the story here. Jesus enters the city on a borrowed colt. There is no army behind him. All he has is the voice of the people, yelling, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" There is no empirical power here, but rather one that is different. One that is praised because of just how different it is. As verse 37 says, because of all the mighty things they have seen. It was these powers that puzzled Herod. It was not the same power that Herod knew, where this strong empire took by force and violence, but by a power which only Jesus wielded. A power that healed those looking for wholeness, just like the centurion in chapter 7 of Luke. A power unlike his own. Friends, Jesus is not here boasting a bold triumph of a conqueror. No, what Jesus is doing is he's walking into Jerusalem, upheld by this proliferation of life. Yet here we are proclaiming hosannas, but underneath all of it, there is this bit of tragedy. In just a few short chapters, that same crowd that is standing outside the gates with Jesus will be at the cross crying. They will bear witness to the spectacle of deadly violence, and then they will grieve at the foot of the cross. Because they see the innocent sacrificed at the altar of imperial aggression. We want to understand humanity, don't we? Our hope tends to be inconsistent. What I'm calling for today is this, that in the midst of triumph, we invite each other to wrestle with our own inconsistent hope. Our propensity to turn from the life of Jesus offers to the fragile, deceptive promise of the empire. When we are walking down the road of hope, it runs through triumph, a triumph that is reimagined. But not just that, there is this all too familiar tragedy and danger. There are moments when it comes to hope, that it becomes dangerous. "Blessed is the King," the crowd exclaims. I'm sure that crowd was filled with expectation that day. There were stories about the miracles, this level of total excitement and abounding hope. The stories they have heard and read, they are all coming true. The King is finally here. We will no longer be oppressed by the current regime. Our lives will be changed forever. It will all be lifted off our shoulders. The King is finally here. The world we live in will be totally different. The King is finally here. You can feel the joy emanating from those expectations. You can feel the hope. It is evident, but evident is a deadly risk. Enter stage right, the Pharisees. As a preacher, I tend to give these guys a bad rap. Many times I treat them as mere foils of Jesus. More or less, I make them the villain of the story, rather than them living in a complex world dominated by empirical powers. One that will crush the hope of any person who gets in their way. They know what will happen to those who hope for revolution. So here they are today, speaking out for the concern of the people. Let's think about this situation for a moment. What if the Romans heard these songs as Jerusalem fills with faithful pilgrims? What would happen if those tensions rose? What would take place if the Romans' peace was threatened? The Pharisees know. And they know the Romans would not hesitate to make a quick example of a few innocent neighbors. Yes, they might arrest a few, or maybe they might execute a few, all in the hope that others begin to hesitate to follow another regal pretender. But what if they actually believe that Jesus is the King? It is what God promised. If the people believe that this Galilean peasant can somehow call down the power of God and the imperial rule, then the wrath of Rome will know no end. In their calculations, which are even more dangerous than an empire might ever be, is a people who begin to hope that a world can change. So how does Jesus respond to these Pharisees? With grief-filled hope, with sorrowful expectation. Here's what he says. I tell you, if they were silent, the stones would shout. Why? Because what has been happening for year after year, for generation after generation, the oppression has been devastating, and the people are now clinging to this small bit of hope because they know the promise that was made by God through the prophets. They have nursed the people, and now the small bit of hope is daring them to trust that this time will be different. That is the hope, one that is not voiced by the people, but also by the ground of creation, the stones. They cry out because of the blood and tears which have been spilled upon them have dried. But the witness they bore still resonates. The stones would shout out, they still do. So today, as we enter into the second week of our Lenten journey, walking with Jesus down this road, I ask that we listen closely and intently on what Jesus is doing to help shape our own walk of faith. When we look around the world, it is filled with division. There's unrest, and the reality is this, that the triumphs promised to us by human actors are being revealed daily as pale imitations of life-giving promises of God made through Christ. As it turns out, there is no human, no matter how powerful they think they might be, that can deliver on our most resonant hopes. So what should we do? We turn to Jesus, who arrives on a borrowed colt under the watchful eye of the empire, and we acclaim him. Just like the crowds who dared to hope that this time would be different. And I know, we often turn to Jesus as we grow impatient, as we experience the devastation of dashed expectations. But here's the good news in all of this. that on the other side of that betrayal is not divine vengeance, nor is there humiliation. Rather, what is there is this: grace. Grace made tangible through Jesus and his resurrection. Friends, the road is open before us. It is populated by neighbors whose care is our joyful duty, whose hopes can remake us, whose lives might just show us the next faithful steps to take. That is resistant hope, and that is what we're called to do through this graceful and hopeful Lenten season. Let's walk with Jesus down the path that he is willing to take for each of us. Amen.